The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" This is the word of the Lord.
It's a great question to end that, isn't it? Do you think you can make me a Christian so quickly? Paul's response is amazing. We didn't even read it. In verse 29, he says, not only you, but everyone else also. Not just you, everyone else also. But how did we get to this point? How did we get to this guy who was so into persecuting Christians? How did we get to this place that he's standing in front of the king? That he is living out what Ananias predicted. How did we get here? So we started last week looking at the very first millennial, which is Paul, in his Facebook page. I found it. Somebody has put it up there, but it's been a long time since he's written anything. We were looking at the posts last week and what Paul would have perhaps written as his transformation was taking place, as he was being completed in God's eyes. And I want to just take one step back in those first few moments when that blinding light comes from God. He's left without sight. And here's perhaps what he might have posted. I'm still blind, physically and spiritually. I don't know what God has done to me. Now imagine if he's posting this in the midst of those 3 days. Now our ears should perk up. When things go for 3 days, what does that usually mean in scriptural terms? Something's died, right? Our own spiritual voices inside of us should hear when it says something has died inside of this man, Saul. So perhaps it's his old self, which has been buried now. He's heard the voice of Christ. It has to die so that something new might be raised from it. So he's at the house of Judas. A man here, Ananias, told me the things that I don't want to hear. I'm not sure he wanted to tell me them either. Do you remember those words that Ananias told Saul? You are my... Hello? Chosen instrument. That's right. Now that's going to be hard for Ananias to share with Saul, the persecutor of Christians, but then he might get the smirk on his face because he said, and God told me that you're going to suffer for it. So we got some good, some bad, right? But in the midst of this suffering, we get perhaps the next post. I can see. When God's word is revealed to Ananias and Jesus arrives in his life. He says, I can see, he's baptized. And then he might add this, everything. When God's will arrives in our life in Jesus Christ and Jesus reveals himself to us, perhaps that's the first opportunity and moment we can see everything that God has for us. The joys, the suffering, the times together. So what does it mean to be God's instruments? Hey, you guys, young people, can you come up here a second? I want to show you some things. Are there any other young people or older young people that want to come up? Can you come up here with me? I want to show you some of these instruments up here. Can we do that? Okay. Let's sit down here for a second. Can you sit down for a second? Okay. How many of you can play instruments already? Can anyone play an instrument? What kind of instruments can you play? A piano. A song on the guitar. I love it. Yes. What can you play? Anyone else? You can play everything. I love it. One more. What can you play? You can play a trumpet. That's right. And what I love about his young people is they're proud about their abilities. They can play some different instruments, right? I have some instruments that I brought today. Does anyone know what this is right here? What is that? It's a piano accordion. You've seen it before because it's been at your house for a while. That's right. What does this sound like, do you think? I'm not going to play it because I'm not very good at it. It sounds like a piano. An accordion, a squeezy piano, yeah? Yeah, is it loud or soft? I suppose it depends on where you're sitting. Yeah, it's pretty loud. And where would you use an instrument like this? In what kind of band, do you think? Yeah? A band from Ireland, I like it. Anywhere else? That's right, old-fashioned bands. And they sound really, really kind of happy, you know? There's a joyful sound with those things, for some people, I think, anyway. Well, what about this one? What's this? What's this? Let me get someone in the back. What kind of guitar is it?
A rock star guitar.
It's a rock star guitar. That's exactly right. So sometimes what you do is there's this little hole right there and you plug it in and then it cooks into a pedal and then it goes, right? And sometimes it's a really loud, loud instrument, isn't it? It just kind of assaults our ears. It hurts sometimes. Not mine, but some others, okay? An electric guitar. And they might play in what kind of a band? What do you think? A rock band. Because we're all shook up, right? What's this? Does anyone know what this is? It's a saxophone. Some of you have seen a saxophone before. What kind of music comes out of here? What does it sound like? It's kind of jazzy. It depends on who plays it. That's right.
Or maybe like a whistle?
A whistle. It could squeak. Yeah, kind of. It kind of can sound like a goose at times. Right? Depends on how long you've been playing it, right? A saxophone, it sounds kind of saxy, right? Okay, we're going to use the first service recording for this one. Okay, so where would you find an instrument? What kind of band would you use this in? Yeah, what do you think? Anyone over here? Can you think of what kind of band we might use this in?
Swing band.
A swing band, like this? Yeah. A jazz band. And when you play these, often what happens, some of the guys that play these or ladies that play these, they don't even use music. It's called improv. And so they get the main theme and then they just kind of close their eyes and let it come. The good ones. Okay? So they might have some improv. Okay? What about this one over here? Can anyone see this one? What's this? Well... Yeah, it's a big violin. What is it? It's a cello. That's right. What does this one sound like? What do you think it sounds like? It can be loud. What do you think? A lower sound of a violin. They say that a cello is the instrument that has the sound nearest the human voice. It's one of the most popular because it's the closest to the human voice. So it sings sweetly to us, right? Also, depending on who's playing. And then the last one. I might need Aaron to help me with this. Aaron, can you help me with this? Can you show me what this sounds like? Yes. Can you give Aaron a hand? She did such a good job. What is this? Does anyone know what this is?
Shofar.
It's a shofar. You all knew that though, right? What do you think this one might be used for? Well, I'm not going to repeat that one. Yeah?
Like an army band?
It could be an army band because what would happen if you blew this really loud and you were an army? What would happen? People would go to... Yeah, fight. This is a call to battle. That's right. Now, each of these musical instruments has a different sound and a different use. And sometimes when we talk about who God is in our lives, God knows each one of your abilities and how to use them. And sometimes each one of us is like one of these instruments in the song that we play with God, right? Are you with me? So sometimes we sing sweetly, sometimes we improv, and sometimes we rock out, correct? All these things that God knows about you and your gifts and how you can use them. Same with all them too, okay? So let's pray that God, let's, can you pray with me? So I'll pray and then you repeat after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for your song and your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to share your song and your light in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. You're way ahead of me. I love it. Okay, thank you very much. It's amazing that these, as we talk about chosen instruments, and each time we can perhaps think of how these instruments are used in different ways. That word chosen instrument is very different. When God calls Saul his chosen instrument, there are two very different meanings for what that means. The first one, in the Greek word, it actually means a person of quality, a man of quality. So God's saying, I know this guy, and even though he's done some things in the past, this is a man of quality, a man of learning, my chosen instrument who can play many different kinds of songs. But at the same time that he's a man of quality, he also is this. In a bad sense that this word is, it means an assistant in accomplishing an evil deed. The same word means the two completely different things. And I think this is Saul in a nutshell. That Saul is a man of quality. But at the same time, he's done some things in his past that should disqualify him from being God's instrument. And yet God can use anyone. God can use you and me because we are the exact same way. God can use your voice even though you have done something perhaps not so quality in the past. Especially someone like me also. So we've got the sense that Saul is now sent out to do these kinds of things. And that duality gives us hope that we too can share in God's world also. So we have Saul showing up now to share his testimony two different times in the book of Acts, once in chapter 22 and now in 26. And each time as he reflects on his life after the call of Christ, he has this new understanding, this new meaning and how he relates it. And God help him, because he knows what he's done to the Christians. He knows now that he has turned his back on essentially his people. And he's been called into a place of suffering. God help him. So we have this amazing song of Paul in Acts 26. Now, just for a moment, what kind of instrument do you think Paul is using in Acts 26 in those first opening sentences when he says, King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today. And especially so because you're so well acquainted with all the Jewish customs. Which instrument is he using? The cello. Oh, what a sweet singer. What about when he says, oh, most excellent Festus? Do you guys talk to people like that? Oh, most excellent Christine. Only that time. He's got to sing sweetly to these people. He's been brought before the king. This is exactly what Ananias predicted when he said, you would be brought before Gentiles, their kings, and all the people of Israel. Here he is standing. If he uses one of those other instruments, kaput, he's done. He's got to sing sweetly. Now, what about, have we ever heard Paul improv before? Has Paul ever improv, you think? Acts chapter 17, he does it really well. He's waiting in Athens, standing at this temple. He's waiting for his friends. Where are they? And all of a sudden he sees this temple to this unknown God. And then he starts, he starts improvising. He starts talking about this, oh, this unknown God. Well, I know this God. Here's the running theme and the running melody of his life. Jesus Christ is King God. Let's run that melody with my improv, my saxophone. Does he ever bring harshness to people's ears? Saul? Paul? Ever? You should be shouting, yes! All the time. It's almost as if he offends everyone for the sake of Christ, to bring them to Christ. Does he ever bring any joy? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, yes. Does he ever call people to battle? In the midst of even this, he says, I am here to turn people from Satan to God, to hear Jesus Christ's voice, to call people to battle, not against human flesh, not against people, but against Satan. And then he ends like this. I spoke to the king today. SMH, I had to look up what that meant, sorry. Tried to convert him to Christianity, LOL. At the end of his going to King Agrippa, in the midst of his trial, he finds that his task that God has put before him is to bring Jesus Christ to even the highest pinnacles of power. Now that may not be you. You might not be called to sing with those five different kinds of instruments in front of the king or our, I just found out this morning, new prime minister. But it might be your job to sing, to play to your neighbor or the person up the street or the person who is hurting. And because you are God's chosen instrument also, in spite of your past, because you're God's chosen instrument, you can sing the same God, the same song that God has for you. And the theme and melody running through it is Jesus Christ. We are called to a time and a place, to a specific people. And these questions, they give us both joy and meaning at the same time. As we recognize God's love and song in our life, we recognize that they will come with joy and they will come with suffering. So these are the questions I want you to wrestle with this week. Where are you being called? What is your place in this, in the book of Acts? The book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit using the disciples and you being contemporary 21st century disciples. Where is God calling you? How do you tell your story? How do you repeat how God has moved and lived in your life? And lastly, what gives you fear in sharing your faith? And how can God give you victory over that fear? Wrestle with those this week in your own acts of 21st century disciples. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to recognize victory in Jesus Christ, who sends us out with the song of salvation. No matter who we stand in front of, we ask that you'll give us the right opportunity, whether to sing sweetly, whether to bring people in a different way, but always, always, always remind us to draw us again close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name, in his victorious name. Amen.